The rocks and dead leaves that are scattered across the ground hide a wealth of living creatures. Among them are some 1,500 to 2,000 varieties of the wolf spider. Wolf spiders are among the common spiders. Their family name is Lycosidae, named for the Greek word lycosa, meaning wolf. Most wolf spiders live underground in burrows or beneath rocks, and many have no retreat at all. Their dark, mottled colors provide them with camouflage, allowing them to live on the ground. Only one genus of the wolf spider spins a web. The rest hunt for their prey over a widespread area at night. The tiny wolf spider can be from 1/8 of an inch to 1 3/8 inches long. The abdomen and cephalothorax are usually as long as they are wide, and their long legs bear 3 microscopic claws at each tip. They have 8 dark eyes of unequal size, arranged in 3 rows, the first row having 4 eyes. Out of all of the known species of the wolf spider, only about 100 are found north of Mexico. But some species are quite common throughout the northern hemisphere, and other varieties are very local. In the Arctic and on high mountains, the wolf spider makes up a large proportion of the spider population. Believe it or not, wolf spiders make nice pets. But stay away from the Brazilian wolf spider, whose venom is as dangerous as the black widow's. Otherwise, they're happy as long as you provide them with water. Like all spiders, the wolf spider's life begins from an egg cluster inside a cocoon. The female attaches her large egg sac to her spinnerets. If the egg sac falls off, the spider searches for it and reattaches it. If she loses the sac for good, she may substitute bits of cork, paper, or snail shells. Inside the egg, early development includes intracerebral nuclear divisions followed by migration of the nuclei to the periphery of the embryo. The nuclei are then isolated by cytoplasmic partitioning, a process that produces a periblastula around an inner yolky mass. Gastrulation follows by formation of a germinal center of presumptive endodermal and mesodermal cells that migrate inward. Additional germinal centers produce the precursors of segments and limbs. Different species of spiders hatch from their egg membranes at different stages, but they all remain inside the cocoon, using the yolk reserves as nourishment until they are able to feed. Most spiders hatch from their egg membranes as immobile prelarvae, characterized by incomplete segmentation and poorly developed appendages. The prelarva first matures into a larva and then into a nymph, which is the same as a juvenile with a physical resemblance to an adult. It is important to remember that the terms prelarva, larva, and nymph do not carry the same meanings as they do when used to describe truly indirect development, where the larvae are independent, free-living individuals. In some spiders, these early developmental changes take place in a special molting chamber inside the cocoon. The tiny spiderlings normally emerge from the cocoon while in the early nymphal stage and immediately climb onto their mother. She carries them on her back, brushing them away from her eyes. If any fall off, they climb up on the mother's legs and back on. Once they hatch, the spiderling's survival depends upon the accomplishment of a major task. They must learn to walk.
I'm walking, let me walk now. When I'm talking, oh, let me talk now. Cause I've been lonely long enough.
As in all arthropods, glycerate locomotion follows the principles of joint articulation and leg movements. Walking by terrestrial glycerates demands that the spider's body be supported off the substratum and that its 4 pairs of legs move in sequences that maintain proper balance. Spiders have developed a number of methods of locomotion, all involving the usual leg motions inherent in jointed limbs, except that a spider's limb extensions are assisted in part by hydrostatic pressure. The 8 ambulatory limbs move in a so-called diagonal rhythm. In other words, legs 2 and 3 on one side of the body are moving at the same time with legs 1 and 4 on the opposite side. This maintains a 4-point stance while distributing the body weight more or less equally among the legs that are in contact with the surface. However, during very slow walking, the posterior to anterior metachronal waves of limb motion are detectable. The stride lengths of the legs overlap somewhat and vary with speed and direction of movement. The placement of the legs on the body and the arcs through which they swing prevent actual limb contact. The free ride on mom's back comes to an end when the spiderlings are mature enough to walk on their own. We don't know what the mother might be thinking when she's finally free of hundreds of little legs crawling on her day and night, but here's one possibility that comes to mind.
my leg. Cause if you feel my leg, you wanna feel my thigh.